Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and we have just one short scripture that I'm going to look at there in this chapter, and that is a message from Paul, the apostle, to the people of Thessalonica, the baby Christians at Thessalonica. And he's giving them a series of instructions at the end of this book, at the end of this letter. And he says to them, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Three simple words that Paul gave instruction to the Thessalonians. And so that is our instruction also, beloved, that the Spirit-filled life is full of prayer without ceasing. And as you go down the highway, you pray. As you sit at the bus stop or the airplane terminal, you pray. And as you spend time in your secret place, you pray. And it becomes just an incorporation into your lifestyle, an incorporation into your daily walk that you always have on your lips and coming out of your mouth. The prayers for the saints, the prayers for your own situation, the prayers to intercede for people who you are concerned about and who you want to see come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so prayer without ceasing is a hallmark of the Spirit-filled life. You can't pray too much. There's no such thing as getting worn out from prayer. Yes, you might get worn out from staying on your knees, but if you get worn out from that, you get up and sit in a chair and keep going, because there's a God up there who hears every one of your prayers, and he responds to your prayers. He sends his angels in response to your prayers. And so when you incorporate a lifestyle of prayer without ceasing, you're going to be blessed. You're going to see the people around you changed. You're going to see your children changed, your grandchildren changed. And so many of you, maybe in especially your latter years of life, maybe you're in a senior citizen center, a home of some kind where you are just waiting on the Lord to maybe take you home, you're ready to go, and you have a desire to be with your loved ones up there in heaven, and you're saying, God, why am I still here? What is my purpose here? Beloved, your purpose here is to pray. It is to intercede for those who don't have time to pray. It is to intercede for those who are lost, maybe your own children, your own grandchildren. And God wants you to spend time in prayer and to spend time looking to Him and seeking Him in prayer. And when you do that, God is rewarding you. Your rewards are being stored up for you in heaven, and you're going to pick them up someday, the crowns of glory, the crowns of righteousness, the soul winner's crown. You're going to pick them up someday, and you're going to be thankful that you spent all the time that you did in prayer and in intercession for your loved ones and for this country. In Proverbs 15:29, Solomon tells us that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. And so as you think about your prayer life, it brings holiness, it brings consecration, it brings commitment to you, to the Lord's work, it brings a desire for you to become holy. And so as you think about your prayer life, you think about drawing closer to the Lord, that it is actually not just begging the Lord for things, that are not just asking the Lord for your daily bread or whatever, it is actually allowing you to position yourself in a closer walk with the Lord, in a more intimate walk with the Lord. And so prayer is really about positioning. It's about giving yourself up and surrendering your time and your resources to the Lord. God already knows the prayers before you speak them. He knows what's on your heart before you speak. But it's about positioning yourself before the Lord to receive His blessings and to stand in the gap for others who don't know the Lord, to stand in the gap for others who may be lost or trapped in bondage. And so as you position yourself before the Lord, He hears the prayers of the righteous, but the Lord is far from the wicked. And that's why people many times who are living a wicked lifestyle, they cry out to the Lord in desperation, and He hears their prayer, but He says, not now, not now. I'm not going to answer your prayer right now until you get yourself more in alignment with me. Well, Jesus told us to spend time in the secret place, and that is the second point I want to make. First, we pray without ceasing wherever we are, but also we have to spend time in our secret place. In Matthew 6:5, Jesus gave instruction in the Sermon on the Mount. He gave a lot of instruction on prayer, and he tells us, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." And so what Jesus is saying is that if you're just doing it for show, if you're just doing it to impress other people, and you're constantly wanting to receive praise and accolades for your great prayer life, or because you're an intercessor and you want to receive attention for your intercession, Jesus says, don't do that. That's not the proper attitude. That's not the proper position. He says the hypocrites do that. All they want is the show and the accolades of their fellow men. And he says they have their reward. But you, when you pray, first of all, he says, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. So Jesus gives instruction, get off by yourself. And for some people, that may be kind of hard. It may be a difficult situation to get off by yourself. If you're in a family with a lot of children and you have a busy lifestyle, you have to make time. You have to find a way to get off by yourself and to get into your secret place. It may be you may have to get into your pickup truck and drive out into a quiet place in the country. Or you may have to, if you're in the prison or the jail, you may have to get off by yourself in the corner of your cell or the corner of the exercise room and just spend time with the Lord in a secret place. And as you do that, he says then, when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. So you're in your secret place, and the Father is in his secret place, and now you can connect to him. Now you can connect with the deepest longings, the desires of your heart, those things that no one else knows about, those issues and circumstances in your life that no one else knows about. You can unload those on the Father, and you can lay them out before him, because he is in his secret place, and you're in yours, and nobody else needs to know about it or has any right to know about it. And so as you pray to your Father who is in the secret place, it says then, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And so the Father hears in his secret place, but when he gives you your reward, it will be open to you. You'll be able to see it. Other people will be able to see it. You will know that there's something happening in your life, and you'll be able to share with people. That will be part of your testimony, that God has showed himself mighty to save in your life. He's shown himself mighty to save in the lives of your children. And so as you intercede for people and as you cry out to the Lord, then the answers to the prayers are openly manifested here on this earth. And verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. In other words, the Lord says, don't just stand up there and repeat the same thing, or sit there and repeat the same thing over and over and over. When you pray in your own words. When you pray from your heart. It's not about a canned prayer or a rehearsed prayer or some kind of a rehearsed dialogue with the Lord. When you pray, you put your own words to it. You put your own passion, your own desire, your own heart to it. And that prayer then is a unique prayer, never to be repeated again. That prayer is a unique prayer, and it is for that moment, for that time, for this season in your life, and no other time will you need to pray that same prayer. In fact, when you pray over and over again the same repetitive prayer, after a while, They have no impact at all. God doesn't hear them because they're not coming from your heart, and they're not an expression of the deepest longings and the desires of your heart. And so Jesus says, therefore, don't be like the hypocrites, for your Father knows the things that you need of before you ask them. And so because he knows what your needs are. He knows the deepest desires and longings of your heart. When you express that to Him, then He says, okay, I've heard that prayer. And so you don't need to keep repeating that same prayer over and over again. And beloved, please don't just say a canned prayer or a rehearsed prayer. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's okay maybe when you go to bed and close your eyes. But when you get serious about prayer and you get serious about seeking the Lord and seeking His blessings in your life, you pray a unique prayer for that moment, for that time, for that season, for the people that you're concerned about, for yourself, for your provision, for your job, whatever it is that you're asking for. You only need it for that moment, and then the next moment you need something else. And you can start asking the Lord and thanking Him when He gives you the blessings and the desires of your heart. Well, in Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus gives more instruction on prayer. He says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That is why you only need to pray the prayer that you're praying right now. You only need to pray it once, because then you, if you believe, if you stretch out your faith and believe that you have received them, then you can start thanking the Lord. You can start saying, Lord, I thank you. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the manifestation. I haven't seen the change, but I believe that change is coming. I believe I'm going to see it. I believe you're sending your angels already in response to my prayer, and so I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you. And when you do that, you thank the Lord even before you see it. That's stretching out your faith. And in verse 23 of that same passage, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And so as you ask the Lord for certain things in your life, as you ask the Lord to intercede for the mountains in your life and to move those mountains into the sea, Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed and you exercise your faith and you believe that whatever you ask for, that you have received it, and you believe that whatever you ask for, that mountain shall be moved into the sea. He says, whoever believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And that's great faith, beloved. That's great faith. That's asking in faith. And so when you ask and you see then that the manifestation is coming, and even if you haven't seen it with your natural eyes, you believe that the manifestation is coming, and that is great faith. And so that is believing for what you haven't seen. And then you can, again, you can start thanking the Lord. Even before you see it, you start thanking the Lord. And you say, Lord, I thank you. I know my change is coming, and thank you, Lord. And I praise your mighty name for stepping up and interceding in this situation. Verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so Jesus ties the answer to your prayers to your forgiveness. He ties the blessings for your life and the blessings for your, even your salvation, to your forgiveness, because he says whenever you stand praying, if there are people in your life that you haven't forgiven, if there are people that you are still bitter towards, that you're still angry towards, that you're holding out some kind of vengeance and some kind of revenge towards them, Jesus says, then your Father in heaven will not forgive you. So forgiveness, when you pray, it becomes then a salvation issue, because he says there again in verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And you want your Father in heaven to forgive your trespasses. You want your Father in heaven to bless you. But when you have not forgiven people who have hurt you, when you have not forgiven people who have done evil against you, or maybe against your children, maybe against somebody close to you in your life, when you don't forgive that person, Then Jesus says, your Father in heaven will not forgive you, and he holds it against you. When you stand before the Lord on that judgment day, when you stand before him, he will say, you have bitterness, you have unforgiveness, you have anger in your life, and it's because you haven't given up the vengeance towards this person. You haven't given up your desire to hurt this person. And so when you are in that situation, then you run the risk of having your salvation come into jeopardy. And so it becomes a salvation issue. So I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to give up your bitterness towards anyone, to turn over any unforgiveness that you have, turn it over to the Lord. Just lay it down at the foot of the cross. I know some of you out there today listening that many evil deeds have been perpetrated against you. Some of you have been molested. Some of you have been beaten up and betrayed and abandoned. Some of you have seen your parents walk out on you at your most vulnerable time, or your wife walk out on you at your most vulnerable time. But the Lord says, give up any vengeance, give up any bitterness and anger and unforgiveness you have towards them. And the Lord says, then I can bless you and I will take care of it. Don't think when you give up your bitterness and your anger, your unforgiveness, don't think that person is getting off scot-free. They're not. No one escapes the judgment of the Lord. No one escapes his eyes, and no one can move forward with unforgiveness in their heart. No one can move forward with bitterness in their heart. And so you give that bitterness up, you give that unforgiveness up, and let God be the righteous judge. Let Jesus be the righteous judge. He sees every detail of every person's life, and so he can make right all the wrongs that have happened in your life. He can make right every difficult situation, every way and every place that you've been harmed, every way and every place that your children may have had evil deeds perpetrated on them. And if you just let it go and let the Lord take care of it, then he will take care of it and he will bless you because you've let him be the God of all justice. Well, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 is an example for us of intercession, interceding in the lives of others and praying for others that God would bless them and intercede in their life. And so I'm going to read this prayer in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Well, this is a lot of words and a lot of deep thoughts here, but Paul is just saying, and he is interceding for the baby Christians at Ephesus, and he's saying that I pray that the Lord would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that is my prayer for you out there today, beloved. That is the reason I bring these radio broadcasts to you, is that I pray that the Lord would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would be able to move forward in the kingdom wherever you're at. Some of you may be stuck in the kingdom. Some of you listening to me today, you may be backslidden, but I want you to know that the Lord is married to the backslider, that the Lord is married to those that are stuck. And so my prayer for you today is that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, a revealing of him, a revealing of Jesus Christ, and a revealing of everything that he wants for you, everything that he has for you, the blessings that he has for you. And so my prayer for you today is that you would have the wisdom to go forward and the wisdom to understand what God is trying to do with your life, what your destiny, your calling is, that you would have the wisdom to make the right decisions. And then in verse 18, Paul says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. And so we understand, we perceive with our heart. Some of you may know that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, that I want to see you, and that is also my wish for you today, beloved, that God would open up the eyes of your heart and that you would understand His desire for your life. You would understand the desire that God has for you to walk in your calling, and that He wants to bless you in great measure, and so that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That is, that you would be able to see the light of Jesus Christ, that you would be able to see the light that He wants to impart into your life, that you would be able to see that light and you would not seek the darkness. And some of you are so accustomed to seeking the darkness, you're so attracted to the darkness, and God wants to break that off. He wants to bring the light into your life. He wants to bless you with the light of the kingdom of God, with the light of Jesus Christ. And so you need to have wisdom, you need to have understanding, you need to have revelation of who God is and what He wants to do with your life. And also then Paul goes on to say, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Beloved, the hope of His calling in your life is your greatest endeavor. That's your greatest mission here on this earth, that you would know your calling, that you would move forward into your calling, and that calling would give you hope from day to day. It would give you a reason to live from day to day. And not only for this day and tomorrow, but for next week and next year. You will never get tired of serving the Lord once you start to walk in His calling. You'll never get tired of stepping out and doing the work of the Lord. I love to work for the Lord. I look forward to every time the Lord opens the door for me. I look forward to going and being an ambassador for the Lord. And I pray that would be your will and your desire as well, that you would come to know the calling that God has for you, and that would give you great hope in this life, and you would find joy, and you would find peace, and you would not even think about any other consequences or any negative impacts of that you would just move forward in your calling and the hope of your calling, and that would give you great joy and peace and fulfillment here on this earth. And then Paul goes on to say, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Well, the riches that God has for you are greater than anything that you can work for. The riches that He has for you, those riches are being stored up in heaven. When you get a picture of God, what His plan is for you, and then you move forward in that plan, and you seek Him, and you move forward in your destiny and your calling, God stores up the riches, all the crowns of glory, the crowns of righteousness, the crowns for those who love to win souls, the crowns for those who are ready for His appearing. All those crowns then are stored up for you in heaven, and that is the riches of His glory, the glory that you walk in here on this earth. That glory, that Shekinah weight, then permeates your life, it permeates your prayer life, it permeates your work, permeates your worship, and that glory then is something that you carry with you. You walk in that glory, and you carry that anointing, and you carry that glory with you as you move about here on this earth. And then Paul goes on in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? And so you will have power. You'll have power when you pray for people. You'll have power when you pray. You'll have power when you worship. And all of these things then will be blessing to you. They'll be manifested to you. You'll start to see the changes in your life. And God's will is that you become a great ambassador for His kingdom and bring the light of the kingdom of God into your life and into your workplace and into your lifestyle here on this earth. Well, God has a mighty plan for our prayer life. He wants us to spend time with Him in prayer. He wants us to rejoice with Him in prayer and thank Him in prayer. And if you spend more time in prayer in your secret place, you will be rewarded, you'll be blessed, and you will praise the Lord, and you'll see things happen in your life. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. As I speak to you today, I'm in Africa. I pray that you would sit down today and write out a check to help support this ministry. We've got a lot of work to do over here. preaching the gospel and building that orphanage site out in West Kenya, and I pray that you would be a part of it. My prayer is that you would come to know the Lord as you give, as you share the bounty of blessings that God has given you, the bounty of the fruit of your own labor and your own hands, that as you share that, God would bless you and you would partner with this ministry to receive the blessing. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast, and we thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.